What's up, spookies?
Oh, that was pretty good.
That was like, I think that was music to everyone's ears.
I hope so. I hope that everyone experienced some like frisson.
Yeah, some shivers. We are back. Spooky Bitch Gang.
Yeah.
And we're also back. I'm Crystal, that's Scooter. And we talk about horror movies from kind of a, I don't know, through the lens of like a like social commentary.
Like,
I fucking know what we do.
Ostensibly, that's what we do. But
yeah.
I think it goes off the rails and who cares?
What we just did was we watched the trailer for the new movie. I don't know. It's I feel like it's pronounced differently depending on what country you're from. Megan.
It was always Megan when I was growing
up. Yeah, I feel like in Australia it's Megan, but then I said that recently when I was in America and everyone was like, what the fuck? Because I think it sounds funny to them.
So what do they say, Megan?
I think some people say Megan and some say like Megan.
Yeah, Megan's like a like an Irish name or something, I think. So.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I think it's like, I feel like in the poster it's actually spelled with like a three or like an equal sign or some shit. Anyway,
yeah.
It's that doll movie that
– The doll movie.
It's been getting so much hype, people saying it looks scary. It looks so fucked.
Shit. Why is she dancing?
Why is she doing TikToks? Like, what is that? Why is she doing those like body rolls before she fucks someone up?
Do you think she's supposed to be like she's obviously a child. She's a child.
She's from fucking Dance Moms or some shit. Like, she's not actually, but you know what I mean?
She's yeah, that she's same JoJo vibe. Siwa.
Yeah.
But do you think she's supposed to be sexy? Because like, ew, there's something uncomfortably sexy about it. And I'm like, no. I don't like.
Oh my
what's
god, I didn't
here.
Even think about that.
Like, I think she's supposed to be almost like it gives me like a Lolita kind of thing.
Ew.
And I'm like, no.
I was thinking more like that movie Orphan or whatever. You know,
oh.
I was like, she's a kid, but she's an adult. Because this is like,
was she sexy?
No, she's not sexy.
Oh, so you weren't talking about the sexy thing.
No. I was like thinking this trailer gave me more of that vibe.
Right.
Of like not sexy, but just like an adult masquerading as a kid because whoever made this toy wasn't like an adult. It was the girl from Get Out. She's an adult.
Oh, she's also in Girls.
Yeah. Well, I try not to think about that show.
yeah, fair.
But I don't know. I guess it was scary. When she was kind of like running, crawling, like running on all fours.
Yeah, she
woods.
Did like a Jurassic Park moment.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I don't know. Like something crawling at you through the woods just reminds me of like a.
Oh, that's interesting.
What's the one that kills Newman in the first one? The one that spits like
that? Yes,
acid? That's what
that
she was
really
doing.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was kind of like that, but then she didn't spit anything.
She
but
should.
I don't know. I just can't take this shit seriously.
No.
The dancing and like I know they're trying to go for like an uncanny valley thing of like, oh, it's creepy that she's so lifelike. It's not. It's really not. You've seen people put up these like $5 AI pictures. No one's scared that. They love it.
Yeah,
they
true.
Want it.
And deepfakes too. People love a deepfake.
Yeah.
It's the same
it's
thing.
It's too late to make a movie like this.
I think the uncanny valley has been like filled in with rubbish. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree.
It's a landfill now and we can't get it back.
Yeah. All the housing prices have gone down in Uncanny Valley. So I don't know about this whole Megan, whatever situation, but I'm going to watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know when it's coming out. I haven't really paid attention.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be like they/them. We're just never allowed to watch it in Australia.
Yeah. Surely we'll get this one. We should do a whole episode on it, do you reckon?
On Megan.
Or maybe we should just do dolls.
Have we not done dolls? Oh, no. We haven't done dolls.
No.
But we do have an interesting special doll episode coming up.
Yeah, as soon as we can find the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I was going to say, I've been watching like a lot of great horror movies lately. Firstly, I wanted to do a shout out to a spooky that I met recently.
You met a spooky?
Yeah, I met a spooky. Called Maddie from Newcastle, and just wanted to give a shout out to Maddie. We love you. We love praise. We've both got praise kinks. So if anyone ever wants to compliment us, please do it. Like, it really means a lot to me.
What's your favorite compliment you've ever received?
Somebody the other day told me, and this, I feel like this doesn't translate well to like maybe this podcast. It's really only like a climbing compliment. Someone told me they looked at my hands and they said, I have perfect crack hands. But they meant it in a climbing sense. And that was like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Oh, I heard you were going to say the other day when I said you looked like Diane Keaton, but.
Wait, when did you say that?
I don't know. We were just walking along and you had some...
Was I wearing a bowler hat?
Yeah, a waistcoat and a tie. No.
Wearing a fucking...
It was like more casual
than I tied around my shoulders. And some... What the hell? I don't remember looking like Diane Keaton.
Well, let's do that.
But not the energy of her, right?
No. Well, what's the energy of Diane Keaton?
It's like high. High energy. There's a lot. It's quite frenetic.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're ever that manic.
I'm close today.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We're going to harness that.
Yeah. Lightning. Hopefully for good. But
oh, yeah, you were talking about you met a spooky.
What's your favorite compliment you've received?
I can't think of one. That's really you complimented sad. The jumper I'm wearing today.
True. And that was your most recent compliment. Basically, I just wanted to say, like, if you ever feel any good feelings about us, can you please tell us? Because we're going through some hard times. So it really does make a difference. And then I'll shout you out on the pod.
I should shout out the spooky who goes to the same hairdresser as me and was talking about Spooky Bitch Gang to our shared hairdresser.
I love that. But do you know their name?
I've got no idea.
Someone all with I know a is that they're talking haircut. About me.
Yeah.
Whoever that is, shout outs.
If Zoe cuts your hair and you're talking to Zoe about us, love you.
And shout out Zoe.
Yeah.
Because your curls are popping.
Well, I don't go to Zoe anymore.
Oh, sorry, Zoe. But yeah, I don't know why I was talking about praise kinks, but I have watched a lot of good movies lately.
Yes.
Some crap ones.
Yeah.
Some good ones. I think it's because I recently moved to the mountains. So I got no friends, I got nothing to do, and there's a kind of a spooky energy to the area that I live in now. Like there's a vibe. Something's quite like, I don't know, it feels just a bit dark. So I've been watching a lot of scary movies and scaring the shit out of myself. I recently watched, The Last Broadcast. Have you seen that movie? It's like a found footage movie from 1997 or 8.
No, I don't know this one.
It's fucking nuts.
Nuts in a good way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I loved it. I think it's quite divisive, but it came out like a few months before the Blair Witch Project, I think. They were being made at the same time, just like coincidentally. But it is so good. It was made for $900.
Oh my God.
They made
$4 million. $900. Let's make a fucking movie.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a flex. they made $4 million off this fucking movie. And it's on Shudder at the moment. It's like it blew me away. I've been doing a lot of Shudder watching because I'm hearing the rumors that it's, you know, maybe on its way out.
I haven't heard that.
Apparently the general manager just stepped down or something, and there's
a vacancy, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. I keep hearing that like it might be on its way out, so I'm just trying to watch everything on Shudder. It might not be true.
There's a lot of good Shudder exclusives, so that would be really sad.
That's true. And we don't really have a place for freaks like us. But anyway, The Last Broadcast, I would highly recommend it. I think I said on Letterboxd that it's like the Blair Witch Project by way of like the Max Headroom like pirate broadcast.
Reading about the Max Headroom incident is like a formative part of my childhood. So
it's fucking tantalizing. And this movie has that kind of like guerrilla energy. Like you feel like you're watching something that shouldn't be allowed. And you're also like, how did they do this? Like it feels kind of dangerous. And then it's also got a very kind of new French extremity feeling to it or aesthetic to some of it.
Love that.
Which is super interesting in a found footage movie.
Yeah.
I think it's daring. It's crazy. In the end credits, everyone is like has the same last name, or it's just the same person doing multiple roles. So it's like it's just a couple of guys got like their friends and family to make a movie with them. There's something about it that just – It's different from the Blair Witch Project in that it somehow feels less polished than that movie, which already, you know, like that's the big thing about that movie is that it feels so
unpolished.
Yes, so real. But, you know, they had this big marketing thing that accompanied that movie that I think did a lot of heavy lifting. I think it's a great movie. The Last Broadcast is different in that it kind of has that feeling like I think we talked about it with maybe was it Noroi the Curse, where it feels like you really are watching something.
It's really hard to kind of disconnect from the fact that it's not
Yes.
You really feel like it is real.
Yeah. I was scared. Like, I was really scared watching it. Feels kind of like you don't have the safety net of watching a movie that you know is just like a production, you know? You don't have that same feeling. There's something about it that just feels like it sits outside of like what we understand as cinema. And it also is a commentary on media, like sensationalized news media, but also on the internet, which is so interesting for a movie that came out in like 97 or 8 or whatever.
Yeah, it's like prescient.
Yes, totally. And I don't know, I just thought it was like extremely well done and I was very, very impressed.
Well, I've added that to my watch list. You should all add that to your watch list. Maybe we should do – we did a found footage episode. If you haven't heard it, you should go back and listen to it because I think it was a good one. Maybe we should do found footage part 2 because there are honestly so many found footage movies.
And I was just saying to you before, I'm – working in the early stages of a found footage movie right now. So that would actually be really helpful to me just personally.
Oh, do you want my $900?
Yeah, can I have it?
Okay, but I get a producer credit.
When I make $4 million, I'll give you your $900 back.
Yeah, right. It's fair. It's completely fair. Well, I watched a movie recently. It wasn't that good. It was called Violent Night with what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
David Harbour?
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't hate this movie. I went into this movie. I was like, this is going to be so fucking stupid. And it is. But David Harbour really knew what kind of movie he was in, and he just does a really nice job with it.
You know, I do like a Christmas-themed horror movie, especially to come out at Christmas. Like, I appreciate that.
With, like, Santa's Sleigh?
Yeah.
What is it? Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Yeah. Christmas Evil?
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Obviously Black Christmas. But you don't get too many of them.
No.
So it's not like Hallmark where you get like 6 new ones.
Browsing those on Amazon Prime the other day, we ended up settling on one called Icetastrophe. It was dreadful.
Was it about like one of those like vodka luge things? And it goes horribly wrong.
No, it was like... a comet was heading towards Earth and it split off into like a hot comet and a cold comet. And the cold comet just made everything turn to ice. So people were like running away from the ice. It was
it was a Christmas movie?
Yeah, it was set at Christmas.
Huh.
And it was like
Christmas
Birdemic
disaster movie. That's kind of cool. Was it good?
No.
But was it fun?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I like the name.
Icetastrophe. It's good, isn't it? It was apparently the director made this movie under the same name twice. We watched the 2014 version. There's a 2019 version. I don't know what the difference is.
Like he remade it?
Yeah. It seems that way.
Like completely like shot it again?
Well, just based on the listing on Letterboxd, that's what happened.
Oh, okay. So maybe he like recut the footage?
Maybe, yeah.
That is interesting.
He just loves the
Icetastrophe. Maybe we can get him on the pod.
It's probably not doing anything else.
Yeah, that I feel like that would be really interesting just to be like, what was that about? What were you doing there?
But yeah, Violent Night was all right, I have to say. You're in the mood for something stupid and – you know what though? I have to say I hate this whole thing now ever since that show Vikings came out where to appeal to men of a certain demographic and like white ladies, I guess – they'll just put Viking shit in everything.
Really?
Like, including this fucking movie where Santa is like an ancient Viking warrior.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I have an embarrassing confession to make. I don't really know what's Vikings. Like
the show or the historical people?
The historical people.
They were like actually really bad people.
Is it people that have like those helmets with like horns on them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they would like rape and pillage.
I don't have a good, I don't know why I don't have a good grasp. That's Vikings?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it missed me, like, I don't know, I would think maybe, you know, you go through waves as a kid of being into, like, dinosaurs or whatever. I didn't get the Viking wave, so no, I don't really know what's a Viking, but...
It's not that interesting. It's like, now it's like a white supremacist dog whistle, so...
Right, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
I watched a movie finally that I've been wanting to watch for a couple of years since it came out called I Blame Society.
Oh, I don't know about this one.
It's like a... I think it's a debut feature... I think the writer director is also the star of the movie, and it's kind of like a independent, almost like a mumblecore horror movie. I feel like we're getting way more of those recently.
Can you explain succinctly what mumblecore is?
It's more of like a feeling, you know what I mean?
Okay, sure.
It's more of a vibe, but this movie is kind of, it really blew me. I don't even know what to make of it. Like at the end, I just sat there and I was like, what the fuck? It was kind of nuts, but like in a really, I think, good way. Like I think I enjoyed it. I blame society.
Right.
It's kind of like what I wanted to get out of Promising Young Woman, except that that movie fucking sucked and it had no balls and no backbone. This movie is like, it's, I feel like it's born of rage, like one of those weird little babies in the brood.
I hate them.
It's kind of, it's got this like real palpable sense of anger to it, which I really like. Because
is it a rape revenge
story? No.
Okay.
It's a movie about making a movie.
Okay.
Making a horror movie. And it's kind of about the industry. It's about this woman's like, it's hard to even sum it up because it feels like it doesn't fit into anything. Like every 5 minutes I felt like, okay, I get what this is now, and then it would change and I wasn't really sure what to make of it anymore. And you're kind of like, I went through all these cycles where I was like, oh, I'm sick of this woman. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I'm sick of this woman because I'm falling into the same traps that she's complaining about. And like it really kind of like fucks you in the head, but it's so – it feels very raw and very vulnerable and like awkward and personal. In a way that made me realize I really kind of value that in art and you sometimes don't realize how rarely you really get to experience that in film. Like everything is so polished. Even when people make something that's deeply personal, it's, you know, still like,
it's too didactic is what you're saying, I think. Whereas in this general movie,
well, I feel like more like it's not, I feel like we don't get as much intimacy with like writer directors as I would like. Mm. And this felt like, no, she's showing you everything, even though it doesn't make her look good.
Right.
Like it's not, I don't know. This character, her character in the movie reminded me of the way that male characters are often allowed to be in movies.
Yeah,
or true. Like anti-heroes. And this felt like a true female anti-hero. And it just felt like,
it's really hard to think of examples of female anti-heroes, isn't it? Like, I think of like Eileen Wuornos in Monster, and that's about it.
Yeah. And even that, people don't really see her. Like, I think she's still kind of painted as like a victim, villain. I don't know.
Mm.
But I found this movie fascinating. Like, it is very weird. It's uncomfortable, but I recommend it.
All right. Well, I've added that to my list as well.
I wonder what you think of it because a lot of people, I think, didn't like it.
Yeah, I noticed it had a pretty low rating on Letterboxd and so did The Last Broadcast. But
The Last Broadcast is like
people on that plastic website don't understand horror. So
everything on Letterboxd is like 2.3 or whatever.
Unless it's like The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, my like, God. I watched like 5 minutes of that and I was like, I would rather die than watch any more of this. It's so terrible. And I also watched A Wounded Fawn because I kept hearing buzz about that.
Oh, yeah, you said you weren't buying it.
What I is gave that? It 1.5 stars, I think. It fucking sucks. Like, you can see what they're trying to do the whole time, but it's like, I shouldn't be seeing what you're trying to do. Like, yeah, just do it.
I should see the wheels turn.
Like, yeah, it's just so, it just felt like all artifice. Like, ugh, it made me kind of sick.
I hate that in a movie.
Me too. Like, do something.
Like, tell me a story, get me engaged first, and then you can do the, like, the fancy, like rhetorical things you want to do.
It felt kind of like they were trying to make like a giallo movie and it's like, you're never going
to
do
people
that.
People are always trying to make giallo movies these days.
Yeah, can you fuck off? Like just because you like
not Italian.
I don't know. Just if you watched it, you'd get it. It's just like, ugh, all right. The whole time you're just like, yeah, okay, we get it. It kind of made me annoyed, but anyway.
Yeah. Have you got any others? No, I haven't seen much lately except for our theme movies. So
yeah, we should get into our theme. I did want to dedicate this episode though to my childhood cat Missy, who recently died, and I think she would have liked this show because she was always like a real bitch. Like she never was like friendly or whatever. And also in her final months, she looked quite horrifying, like a monster, because she got really skinny and old and her hair was all falling out. Like she was really scary. Every time I saw her, I was like, holy shit. Like,
poor Missy.
Yeah. So anyway, she's gone to a better place now. I love you, Missy. And this one's for you.
Pour one out for Missy.
Hit the tunes.
Hi.
I was going to ask you a question about
I was going to ask you a question.
Oh, you ask yours.
No, you can ask yours.
Okay. Well, our theme today is Invasion of the Body Snatchers, not the movie The Feeling.
We obviously are going to talk about a couple of the adaptations of that story.
Yeah. But I wanted to ask, do you think these movies are horror movies? Like, do you think
they're sci-fi horror, in my opinion.
But do you think the outcome in these movies, like the fear, is like actually bad? I don't know that.
Okay.
I'm not convinced watching these that there's anything to be afraid of.
Well, that is exactly what I was going to say about a movie that we've already mentioned in this episode, Shivers.
Yes.
This movie came out in 75. It's David Cronenberg. I hadn't seen it before. Had you seen it before we?
I saw it ages ago. And I don't really, I didn't remember much because I never remember anything, but rewatching it, I felt like, firstly, it's his like debut, which is it? Nuts. Yeah.
It's so good.
Imagine that's how you introduced to him. Like,
yeah.
That's how the world is introduced to him. He's fucked. That was like 1975. Like who the fuck makes movies with that kind of shit in it? And like, anyway, it is really fucking good. And is so complicated
yeah.
that it made me kind of rethink the whole theme because it just made me feel like I don't know how I feel. And I felt kind of like conflicted on an ethical level watching this movie.
Me too. Okay. So, yeah, the reason when you asked that question, I wanted to dive straight into this movie is the first couple of acts of this movie, I was a bit like, I think early David Cronenberg sometimes has some issues with women and sort of the sexuality of women.
Mm.
And I was kind of getting that vibe from this movie. But then there's this moment where Nurse Forsyth says to, I guess our main character, Dr. St. Luke, she's like, she's been taken over by the parasite, but she's still a little bit lucid. And she's like, this is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream that I was having sex with an old man. And he told me all flesh is erotic. And I was like, yes, all human flesh has the capability to be erotic.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there on, this movie inevitably, everyone gets taken over by the parasites that cause them to change. But the ending is like rapturous.
Yes.
It's like, it's eerie, but it feels really kind of liberating and beautiful.
Yeah. The ending leaves you feeling like, wait, how am I supposed to feel? Like,
yeah.
Tell me how I'm supposed to take this. Like, is this bad?
Yeah. Because
it could.
Did you know the original title when they were shooting it was Orgy of the Blood Parasites?
That's so hot.
I'm glad they changed it.
I also but feel it like is an orgy. All flesh is erotic. Like, I already feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, I find everyone attractive.
It's like such a body positive, like
yes.
age positive,
sex positive.
Positive. It's actually really forward thinking.
Totally.
It makes you thinking, it leaves you thinking, was that by accident? Like, was he still trying to be a little bit gross about it and he accidentally stumbled onto?
I don't think so, because if you look at the rest of his, what's the word I'm looking for?
Oeuvre.
Yeah. Since then, I feel like that's kind of always his message.
Mm.
So I don't think it would have been any different with this first movie. I think it's just a really provocative and really bold movie about
like, sex,
the flesh, yeah. And about this idea that becoming like returning to your primal self
is a liberating.
Yeah, it's scary, but something doesn't have to be bad and wrong just because it's scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like, I feel like that changes my whole thinking about like horror in general.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you just always assume you associate fantasy, fear right? with like, oh, that's the bad thing. That's the monster.
Yeah.
But actually fear can just be change, or it can be, it can be irrational. Like, yeah. And I feel like this movie is so complex because these people are kind of like, I don't know, they're straddling the line between being just really kind of like almost self-actualized in their primal sexuality, but also then there's this undercurrent of like a sexual assault.
Yeah.
That confuses the whole thing, and it doesn't ever let you become comfortable. It doesn't ever let you make like a comfortable conclusion about like, oh, okay, well, it's a good thing then, or it's a bad thing. It's just always kind of in your face about like, doesn't this make you feel like hot? And don't you feel kind of fucked up that it does? Like, it's so provocative.
Yeah. And I also like the contrast between what actually goes on and the fact that the choice was made to set this in this very austere high-rise building where everyone's living these perfect little lives. And then it's this eroticism that breaks that up. It's a very interesting, I think, comment on kind of like the, like, chaste little lives we live or lived.
Yeah. But even when they're setting up that place, what's it called? Starliner Towers or whatever.
Yeah.
Where they live. Like the beginning of the movie is kind of like you just get to see like an infomercial about living there, how great it is and sanitized. But there's something about it that already doesn't feel like it feels kind of off. And like when this couple comes to in the beginning to inquire about living there, we're getting their interaction with this guy who works there, which is all very much like, you know, selling them on how great it is. But it's intercut with a scene of this old man like attacking a young girl. And I think she's wearing like school uniform.
It's later revealed she's 19 years old, but she's very really nubile.
Yeah. And he's like really attacking her, and there's not really any sound in the scene either. It's like a quiet, it's like totally, they're both like silent, but he's just like, it's like a struggle, the kind of struggle that's like really confronting to watch. And it just goes back and forth between like this couple inquiring about this place and then back to this man like attacking this woman or this young girl. And it's just, there's something about it that immediately is just like, I'm going to fuck up your whole idea of like society and what this is.
That's true. Yeah, that's a really good point. And also that scene and kind of that character as like briefly as she is in the movie, that was kind of where I was like, this movie has an issue with women.
Is it because she was such a baddie that she like was the reason that this fucking thing
spread? She was patient zero for these fucking brain worms,
because she
was
such a hoe. That would be me. Do you feel like It Follows takes a lot from this movie, but then kind of like takes it down more of a traditional horror path?
This movie is just as intelligent as It Follows, but I feel like people who love It Follows would be inclined to dismiss this as like schlock.
I think this movie has way more interesting things to say than It Follows.
Do you like It Follows?
I do, but I like it in the same way that I like a Friday the 13th. I feel like it's quite.
Wow.
I think it's a really standard formula, and then it was just like executed really well.
It's atmospheric and performances. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like groundbreaking thematically. Whereas this movie is.
Yeah, especially considering how old it is.
I know. Like, even watching it now, it's just like, I think at one point, and there's all these little tiny things, like, it's the whole movie is saturated in what its point is. And I think there's one scene where someone's talking, I don't know, and just in the background, you kind of see, like, half obscured this sign or writing on a chalkboard or something that says something like, sex was invented by an intelligent venereal disease.
My God, I didn't notice that.
I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. I feel like things like that, it kind of points to this movie not wanting to give you any answers. And like, maybe there are no answers, and maybe there is no meaning to any of this. Like, the fact that we're even trying to find meaning is kind of futile, because the whole point is that it's like us as sexual beings, it just is. Like, it's not good and it's not bad.
Yeah.
That's just how things are.
Yeah.
And it feels like nature wants to return to that.
The best David Cronenberg, I think, I agree with you completely. The best David Cronenberg, I think, makes us look at ourselves. Like Videodrome. Videodrome is so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, you kind of just look at the world you live in a slightly different way. And I think this movie does that as well.
Yeah. It makes you think, like, he must be a real freak.
Yeah. You always say that about him.
Well, I think he's really, like, attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Just mentally, like, his brain.
Oh, okay. Do you think Jim Jarmusch is attractive?
No.
Couldn't even get the question out. No, I don't. I think they look really similar.
Yeah, but it's like the vibe, you know?
Right, right.
I don't like those movies very much. but the reason we're talking about Shivers is because it is kind of a – you get your body snatched. But it's almost like
– I don't know if you know the term, like – of course you do. Snatch is like you're skinny. You get your body snatched.
Yeah, like a waist trainer. No, you kind of get like taken over and changed, but
I think that the people are kind of aware of what's happening to them.
And it feels almost like you're not really changing, you're kind of returning to like a more natural state in some way. I don't know. It just seems a bit and also it feels like a lot of these, you know, like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, there's like this idea that the aliens are like, oh, you'd be a lot happier if you just had your brain fucked up and then suddenly you're like this. And then everyone who's been changed is like, yeah, it's great. We love it now. Yeah. But the people who have not been changed, very few of them would opt in. Whereas in Shivers, I feel like you'd get a lot of people opting in. I'd opt in.
Yeah, well, our main character kind of opts in at the end, right?
Yeah, like, it's not like okay.
I'm in the pool.
It just seems pretty good. Like, it seems like a drug. It seems like, you know, taking a pill someone gave you at a party.
And it doesn't wear off, or does it? I mean, like, maybe there's that one guy who, like, he kept vomiting up blood and then his stomach was moving around.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was really gross.
He had a rough time. And
that lady's umbrella. I had a rough time with that scene. I really struggled with that. That was really upsetting to me. But for the most part.
Great film.
Great, because you're right. There's this like equality of who gets to be viewed as a sexual person, and you really don't see that much. And I think that is really transgressive, like beyond just like sexiness, because you're allowed to be sexy in society. You're allowed to be sexy in movies, especially in horror movies.
Yeah,
but not everyone is allowed to be. In this movie, it's really kind of questioning that, like, everybody really truly is allowed to be sexy and just is. Yeah.
And what did you make of the scene where so there's a scene late in the movie, so our main character, basically, he doesn't have much of personality, but Dr. St. Luke gets chased right down the hallway by two very, very clearly queer-coded men, and the whole time I was like, do they have the brain worms or they're just I was like, is this homophobic? What do you reckon?
I guess at a certain point you wouldn't know. Normal. At a certain point you wouldn't know who's got the brainworms. Because even that nurse the whole time, she seemed to have a fucking brainworm for that doctor. She was into him. Maybe I'm going to start using brainworm. That should be the new term.
Well, I got brainworms for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Huge brainworm right now.
Ew.
I feel sick. But I guess that's kind of – you're blurring the line because the brainworms don't radically change you.
No, they just make you quite horny and a little bit violent.
It's like a miracle berry. Oh, it just lets you taste the sweetness.
Miracle berry?
You know miracle berries?
No.
I feel like when I was in high school, there was like a moment for miracle berries where you
what
would
is
like,
that?
It's like a berry that people would put into tablet form. You'd order it from fucking Canada or whatever. Oh, where this movie's from. And then you would have it and it would make everything taste sweet for like an hour.
Why would you want everything to taste sweet?
Because it's a novelty. So then you have like a party and everyone brings like lemons and shit and then you're like, yum. And that was the whole deal.
Yeah, it would be really good if you wanted to drink a lot of alcohol straight.
Oh, fuck. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's like
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No. Well, they always sold it as like, you can eat broccoli and you'll like it.
But broccoli's like, good.
Yeah, broccoli is fucking good. Not everything has to be sweet.
Yeah.
To be yum. That's the main takeaway I want listeners to have from this episode. But anyway, Body Snatchers. Hey, can I ask you because we watched, I don't know if you watched anything else, but we watched the what's from the 50s? The Invasion of Body Snatchers from the 50s and then the one from like from 78 or whenever.
Yeah.
By the way, Jeff Goldblum's so fucking hot in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
Did you have a preference out of those two movies?
I think I saw that you preferred the 70s one. It's really good. Oh, I prefer the 50s one because I love that 1950s Cold War paranoia. Like, I'm such a sucker for that. I absolutely love it. And just kind of like the weird little parochial 50s people being confronted with something really bizarre. Like, it just does things to me.
Interesting.
But yeah, so... You did prefer the 70s one?
Yeah. I feel like it's a better made movie. Like, firstly, I love how grounded it is in like this, in like 1970s San Francisco. Like, it's gritty.
Yeah.
It feels like
a new Hollywood
kind of. Yes. It doesn't feel like a sci-fi movie for most of it. It feels like you're watching like, I don't know, like a dark, like a Taxi Driver-esque.
Yeah,
like, there's absolutely. Dustin Hoffman's in the lead. Like, it's
he was in every fucking movie then, wasn't he?
It's crazy that he wasn't in this. I think I mentioned on my Letterboxd review, I just really didn't like when they tried to lean into the body horror elements. I don't think that was its strength. But I think the ending of the 1978 movie is like,
it's really terrible,
genuinely so scary.
Yeah,
so like it just sits with you. It's just like, oh, it's horrible. And I love, you know, the characters' relationships and interactions. Like, I feel like when people get taken over in this movie, you really feel it. Like, you kind of understand the gravity of something like that and the blow and the grief of losing somebody and the fear of, like, losing the people around you and then knowing that you might be lost as well.
I think the 1950s one has that as well.
I just couldn't connect with it as much. I was kind of bored.
Oh, that's so interesting, because for me it was like that small town setting where everyone knows one another is the perfect place to have that paranoia going on, where it's like, that's fucking Janelle down the street and she's being weird and I can't put my finger on it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, whereas the 70s version, it's this huge city where the fear is kind of like, this could be happening all around you and how do you know? Because people in cities kind of already act like they don't give a shit about each other.
Yeah, and I remember there's this scene where they go to a party and it's like people at parties are just dickheads sometimes. Totally. You don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's hard to tell. Like,
is that Leonard Nimoy is in that scene from Star Trek?
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I've never seen Star Trek. I love that scene. I love that party scene. I love how Jeff Goldblum's character gets so offended by that woman roasting him about his writing.
She was right.
But there's also a scene where a man gets, like, he's running through the city screaming, just like at the end of the 50s one. And he gets hit by a car or whatever and he's on the ground. And there's a group of people around him and they're just kind of staring at him. And you can't really tell, like, are these people taken over in their brains? Or
I've seen people do that when someone has been hurt.
That's how people act in big cities.
Yeah.
So it's kind of scary because, like, it's like a Shaun of the Dead situation where, like, you don't really know if people are, like, pod people. Like, I could be living – not now because now I live in a cute little country town. But in the city, everyone could be a fucking pod person. How are you supposed to know? It's cool to be a pod person now.
Yeah, that's true. I think the key difference maybe is where, like, body snatcher movies are all about mistrust, right?
Yeah.
I think the key difference between these two versions of that story is the 1950s one, the mistrust is literally, it's so alien and it's like, it's this brand new threat. It's, you know, it's kind of unknowable. It's come from out of nowhere. It's not something we've ever encountered before. And that's scary because it's, you know, we don't know what to do about it. Whereas I think by the time we get involved in the story in the 70s one, it's gone so far that they have these huge facilities and everything. Like, it's like really far gone to the point where it's almost like it's kind of like they live, right? Where the body snatchers are already in control. They're the government. Yeah. Whereas, like, the older one is all about trusting the government. We live in a safe place. These are outsiders. Yeah. But it seems like in the 70s one, the threat is – the call's coming from inside the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's just like – I don't know. I feel like in this 78 version, I think the script is really strong.
It is, yes.
I think the dialogue that some of the characters have is great. I think it's just a really good movie before it's even a body snatcher movie. Absolutely. Or a sci-fi movie. Also, the lady does that shaky eyes thing, and I just want to give a shout out to that lady.
What's the shaky eyes thing?
Do you remember when she's like, oh, you think I'm crazy or whatever, and the main dude's like, no, do that eye thing. If you do the eye thing, I won't think you're crazy. And she does weird shaky eye thing. And I was like, yeah, I love these little human moments that connect you to these people. Like, it feels like, oh, I know this relationship. I know these people.
True, true.
So then it's even sadder when she's not going to do the fucking shaky eye thing anymore.
Mm. Brooke Adams is so good in this movie.
Is that shaky eyes?
The main lady, yeah.
She's beautiful.
Isn't there like someone really fucking cool is in this movie? I can't remember who. Huh. Some lady.
Cool lady. Well, this movie kind of has a final girl.
Oh, Veronica Cartwright from Alien. She's great, but anyway.
Shout outs.
Yeah, shout outs. Anyway, what were you saying?
Oh, I just said that it kind of has a final girl, this movie.
Donald Sutherland. Wait, no.
No, the lady who screams at the end.
True.
So I kind of appreciate that. I love a final girl. Hope she makes it out okay.
When's the sequel? Have you seen any of the other adaptations of this story?
No.
There's an Abel Ferrara one from the 90s.
Oh.
There's one with Nicole Kidman in it, The Invasion.
Oh, I may have seen that.
Yeah, I may have as well.
She's a good person to be a pod person because her face doesn't move.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So, obviously, Nicole Kidman, you wouldn't be able to tell. If I had been taken over by pod people, what do you reckon is the first sign you would notice about me?
I think you'd be way nicer. Like, I don't mean this in the best possible way. I think I'd notice pretty quickly if you weren't talking shit about people or like, you know, if you were just kind of like, oh, that new person at work, like they seem great. I'd know something's up with this guy. This isn't the friend that
I know. You're really exposing me here.
I just feel like the pod people are so pleasant, you know?
They're pleasant until you get on the wrong
boring.
Side.
Yeah. But the world that they're striving for, I'm not too interested in it.
No. That was the whole plot of – did you ever see the movie The Host or read the book The Host? Stephanie Meyer, the author of Twilight, wrote this sci-fi novel, The Host, and it became a movie with Saoirse Ronan in it.
I don't think so.
Oh, it was terrible, but it was so fun. It's a body snatcher movie. The aliens move in and each person is assigned like a little person that lives in their head.
Oh.
And they have like you were just saying, like a very pleasant society. They all get along and it's really boring.
Nah, like what would you do?
I guess you just like hang out.
That sucks.
But it seems like they don't work. So
I saw this meme on like Instagram or something today that was like, as a kid, I was always really scared. I was like terrified by the idea of heaven because I just imagined it as this place with all these like perfect cookie cutter houses like in a line and then the sky was always like blue and sunny. Like that's how I think of these places.
Yeah.
Like that's horrifying to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like I want to go back to the Shivers world where everyone's fucking and it's real. Well, yeah. I don't want it to be like, I don't know, too sanitized or too like. But why are we so scared of that?
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it?
Like, why are we scared of it?
Well, definitely the earlier movies in this genre or micro genre, I guess, it's definitely because it's different, because it's alien. Like, I'm thinking of Invaders from Mars, which was like pretty crap, but like kind of good.
I liked Invaders from Mars.
Yeah, I liked it, but I was like, this is a bit rubbish. It did not need to go for 80 minutes. It probably had about 40 minutes of content.
I loved that kid.
Yes, that's what I was saying. The kid, having the child's eye view of this happening made it really scary to me because it's so kind of unknowable to him. And
but like, he's the most fucking switched on of anyone.
True. And he's got so much clout that in one day he gets his complaint about his parents to the fucking FBI, CIA. But the first instance of something being wrong in this movie is actually when the kid's dad hits him. And I was like, that's really upsetting that it's kind of like that those things happen in real domestic situations where a fucking switch flicks and this is not the person you knew. And it was like, it was really quite affecting.
It was. It was really interesting when his parents come to pick him up and they really don't give a shit about him.
Mm.
And I think the cop says something like, oh, I've never seen parents so cold or whatever. And the kid sticks up for them. He's like, no, they're usually really great. Those aren't my parents. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this kid already has like an idyllic situation. And the alternative is kind of what kind of closer to what a lot of kids have.
Yeah.
Like in real life.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, yeah, upside down in that movie. Like you could definitely see why he would prefer his regular life and his regular parents.
His regular life was the fantasy.
Yes. Also, like all of it just felt weird. All of it felt kind of like not real. Like their world felt like not real. The fact that this kid is like the right-hand man to like an astronomer and just like,
yeah,
so he just hangs out. He knows all the fucking planets and shit. He knows what's going on. Like, why is this scientist giving him all access to like his data? What's going on there? Like, it's just him and this kid. No that, one's like, it's weird that you guys are hanging out. Yeah,
I guess not.
There's just something odd, but I guess in a lot of these movies, the fear is kind of like what you were saying about like the Cold War paranoia.
Yeah.
There's like a fear of like having to conform.
Yeah, and I guess that was the idea of, like, communists. The Soviet Union was that, yeah, like, everyone's the same, everyone marches in step and wears
But then it's clothes. Also the fear of, like, the people who are talking about, like, the Red Scare and the people who are, like McCarthyism. Like, it's the same. I feel like on both sides it's the same fear that, like, oh, we need to really conform to this idea of what's acceptable or we're going to be punished.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter which angle you look at it from.
Yeah, but I don't think these earlier movies are as nuanced as that, whereas you get to, like, something like – do you think They Live is a Body Snatcher movie?
I don't know. I don't know. You know what? I've noticed when we researched this, there are fucking heaps of these movies.
Yeah, most of them seem pretty crap.
I thought this would be tiny. I thought there'd be, like, hardly any, but actually there are so many.
And it's like – like, where do you draw the line? It's like the method of body snatching, or does it have to be aliens?
Because it's almost like it also feels like a changeling adjacent kind of film.
Oh, but
with adults instead of kids.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse changeling scenario. RCS.
You should make a reverse changeling movie. Oh.
That's what these are.
Oh, yeah, true.
Just kids being like, that's not my dad.
Kids probably do that all the time, to be honest, in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if what I would have thought if my parents suddenly were different.
Well, okay, that's what I was thinking about as well, because it's like I feel like you maybe had a different relationship with your parents to some people. So if your parents maybe, like, I'm just speculating.
Yeah, yeah.
If your parents started acting a bit funny, do you reckon you'd be like, oh, I'm so upset about it. Where are my parents? Or you'd just be like, oh, they're so irritating.
It's really hard to say because, like, that's when you're a kid and parents are, like, the ultimate authority figure and the ultimate kind of barometer for what's normal in the world. I feel like it takes a lot for you to notice something's up and to question that.
Yeah, because you kind of just
go along.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of – they set the tone.
Like, I can remember there were times in my life where my parents definitely did behave weirdly.
Yeah.
And I was never instantly like, that's not them. I was just like really going through it. Well, because
parents from our generation, like, they didn't go to therapy.
No.
And I'm pretty sure, knowing now I'm 31, so our parents, like a lot of people my age, their parents would have already been parents for a while at this point. I'm having, like, a lot of ups and downs. I don't know about all of you guys.
Yeah, true.
But I'm having some periods where I can't even take care of myself.
Yeah.
There's no way that they didn't have experiences like that. But then they just absolutely have to keep doing regular life. They never – no one's parents are ever like, oh, I'm really depressed. I need to go, like, take some time for myself. Like, they were just there every day making you fucking lunch.
Yeah.
So – surely, like, had to come out somewhere.
Yeah. So I think maybe these older body snatcher movies are, like, reliant on this false premise that life is actually a stable thing.
That's so true. Yeah. Like, and that people are, like,
reliable.
Yeah. That people have, like, a basic essence.
Yeah.
That you can tell if it's changed. I don't think you fucking can. Also, sometimes I'm different.
Yeah.
And if someone would say, like, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, you seem different. What's up? It's like, go fuck yourself. How fucking dare you presume to know all my shades and all my mysteries?
Yeah.
Like, I contain multitudes. I can be whatever the fuck I want tomorrow. I can have no fucking emotions. I can yell if a dog's going to get run over by a car. I can do whatever the fuck I want to. And, like, how dare you presume to know who I am at all times? Only I know that. And I don't even fucking know who the hell I am. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No. I think that's really poignant.
I'm really sorry. I don't know where I was just then.
But, like, people have always been that way. So, like,
yeah,
it can't be a matter of these movies being older that we're seeing it in that light now. Like, But people genuinely found these movies scary at the time.
I really do think if this started happening, people started to get replaced with replicas. I think maybe 20% of people would like figure it
out. Cotton on, yeah.
Yes. I don't think people are assuming that's not my boyfriend. Like, you just think, oh, they're acting a bit different.
Yeah, they're having a moment.
Like, people, I think there's a broad spectrum of behaviors that are acceptable from people you know.
Yeah.
Before you start to think, I think they're a plant has infiltrated their brain.
Yeah, and these people, it's always like instantly, they're like, something's
they
up.
You can tell. Yeah. I don't think I could tell.
No.
I don't think I know the true essence of anybody. I really don't.
Except if I started being nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the one giveaway. But for real, I would be like, something's wrong with him.
Or I am nice.
Well, not that you're not nice, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you weren't shady at all, like,
yeah.
If you were genuinely, if you genuinely had like a positive outlook on life, I think I'd think.
Don't. That's so scary.
But I don't think I'd assume that you'd been invaded. I think I'd assume that maybe you read a self-help book or.
Me?
A cult leader's gotten in your ear. Like, I'd think something else before. It would take me a while. Ambience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sounding the alarm. There's no way I'm calling the FBI. So if anyone gets taken over by pod people, don't come to me for help. Because I just want to let you, everyone have their own freedom of expression.
And you've also already said that you think maybe the pod people are or the brainworms are good.
I just want to hear them out. You know what I mean? I want to see both sides. Because what I've got here, I'm not that happy with. So I'm open is all I'm saying.
What if the pod people are like the next step in evolution for the human race? Why the fuck not?
Yeah. And of course, we're always going to resist some kind of change and some kind of progression and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like with shivers, just because you're scared of something, it doesn't mean that it's bad.
Yeah.
Let's do it. There is something inherently very sexual about being invaded, having your body invaded by like this alien force, don't you think?
Yes.
Even in the 1978 Body Snatchers movie, how they're like, they're all just like smelling these like little flowers that get left for them.
It.
Like, it's very sexual.
Yeah, there's definitely something sensual about.
Totally.
Like,
who the fuck sits around smelling a flower all day? It's not normal behavior.
And I guess like role play is sexy, right? Like, to be someone else.
Totally.
There's something like,
maybe
is it sexy for
these
aliens?
Movies are about ethical non-monogamy.
Maybe.
Because all these people are in these fucking committed relationships where they have all these rules and stuff.
And then they're like a superorganism. I think superorganisms by definition are sexy.
Do you think maybe this is something about like, because they're all like, for example, in these Body Snatcher movies, they seem to be like, okay, it's for the good of society. Like, you need to change to be this way to better society. It's not really to better your life. It's to better society. So there's kind of like a communal goal.
Mm.
Do you think there's something about all of us being connected and part of one being? Like, we're all just kind of cells in one larger being. Like, is that the kind of the philosophy behind these kinds of things?
Well, we talked about communism, and I think when you look at some of them, it's the greater good or like individualism for Americans is like the thing.
Yeah.
Freedom, individualism.
Yeah.
Losing that is like kind of an affront to the American sensibility. So I think that's where it comes from, is this idea that it's bad to be like everyone else. And that's why it's scary, right? Mm. But I don't know. Like, we're not thinking about the fact that, like you said, it would be, it's like what you said about heaven, right? That it would be really boring if everyone was the same and everything, every day was the same and predictable and all that.
Yeah, but then we're also kind of assuming that everyone is scared of that idea of becoming.
I'm sure there are people who
aren't
scared of that idea.
Yeah, but these movies don't really reflect that. They don't show the people who are like, yes, this is beautiful. I want to feel like I'm part of this and I'm not just like my own separate little satellite around the world. Like, I want to feel like I'm like an organ of like a bigger being.
Well, that's the movie you should make.
It would
I can't think of a single movie like that.
I think it's like in Independence Day. That lady who goes to the top of the building and she welcomes the aliens at that, like, rave. And those people were really annoying, so I don't think anyone would like that movie.
Did you watch the movie I Married a Monster from Outer Space?
Yes, I liked that.
Yeah, I liked it too. This was a really interesting one, and I think it's different to the ones we've already talked about.
Yes.
where this one to me, I was like, this is a movie about men abusing their partners. Straight up. In this movie,
yeah.
Anytime a man gets married, he then gets overtaken by – it's pretty much only men who get overtaken by the alien in this one.
Yeah.
And they just – they act like dickheads.
Even their dialogue before they're overtaken by aliens is always just about like, oh, getting married fucking sucks. Like, but then all they ever really talk mean. About is like, yeah, how they hate their wives.
Yeah. I think this is a feminist movie, honestly.
I think so too. That lady fought too hard to get that man back.
I know. He was such a just trip. Leave it.
Yeah. Just move on. Yeah. It was interesting how then she's just living with him. She figures it out because she's a fucking smart bitch. Yeah. And then he's just kind of like, oh, P.S. I feel like it's a kind of a bombshell when he's like, because they're trying to learn how to be like.
Oh, yeah. Humans.
And he's like, I think I'm like kind of starting to fall in love with you. It's so crazy. Like, yeah. I haven't seen that in any of these other movies.
No. And, yeah, the way she kind of lives with it is, like, completely the opposite of what we see in all the other movies where they're trying really hard
it's
to fight
that.
It's
not really alarmist. She's just kind of like, look, I know that you're actually a fucking alien who's taken. Like,
and how many women settle for a man they know is a fucking
yes. Bad, and right? She's like, I'm going to help you. I'll help you come back to your old self. Bitch, get out. She was way too good for him.
Yeah. All the men in this movie are so trash.
Oh, they're so gross. I really hated them all. I kind of liked the alien more.
Yeah, the alien had more interesting things to say.
He was willing to change.
Yeah.
He was experimenting with love for the first time. And I don't know, there's something about stoicism that's kind of sexy.
Yeah, you love a stoic, don't you?
I really do.
You love a man who'll just kind of like sneer at you.
Oh my God, don't say that. It's not true, guys. I want people to be nice to me, but there's just something hot about not having many emotions.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, you're so like unaffected by life. And that's so different to me. I think that's why I like it. I'm like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're like very like, what's the opposite of stoic?
Go with the wind. Like,
yeah, emotionally extroverted. That's what you are.
Yes. Yes. I'm very, very easily affected. I have a delicate sensibility.
So there's no way you could be the lady in I Married a Monster from Outer Space. It's just like, well, I guess I live with an alien.
No way. She was cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
And I really admired that. I liked going on that journey with her, but I didn't like the way it ended because I wanted that bitch to be free.
Yeah, she brought all the men back. Like,
and it was even interesting, like, why those aliens came there. They were like, all our women are dead. Even thinking about it, this movie is so weird. All the women on their planet died, and they were just like, well, we got to get some other ones. And then this bitch was like, well, did you love your, like, wives, your alien wives? And he's like, nah.
Yeah, that's so right.
No, we were only together to reproduce.
Yeah.
Like,
the aliens in these movies never seem to have much of a plan. Like, even in Invaders from Mars, they weren't really invading. These they were kind of just doing petty crimes.
Because you kind of need to have, I think a lot of the, a lot of these movies, the threat, it's like, it kind of, it's almost like a celebration of like human fickleness and passion and emotions. Right,
when you take that away,
when you take that away, uncanny. You're not a human anymore.
Yeah.
But you kind of need those things to like start a war, like an interplanetary war. You kind of need a bit of a passion, you know?
That's why they always lose. Yeah.
They're just like, well, I guess we're here now. We've got to reproduce. Like, that's not, I don't think that's a strong enough driving force.
You think the aliens don't really understand the human spirit enough to succeed?
I think these movies are kind of like an embrace of hysteria, of like that very human right to be hysterical fucking sometimes. And that actually maybe that's a strength rather than a weakness, because that seems to be the undoing of a lot of these fucking aliens, is that they're just too cavalier.
Yeah. No, I think that's beautiful. And like that brings us back to Shivers again, where it literally is a celebration of that.
Yes. It's like, actually, you've forgotten this. You're living in your little cubes, but.
But have you thought about having an orgy in the pool?
I have.
We all have. We've all seen Showgirls.
I love these movies. We haven't even talked about The Thing. What is, yeah, probably one of the greatest movies of all time and happens to be a body snatcher movie.
Yeah. This one's very different, though, in that it's kind of one organism doing it all.
Yeah.
And it can spread its little testicles out over everything. Sorry, I meant to say tentacles. And I was always confused about this. Does it take the body that you're in, or does it eat you and reproduce your body?
Oh.
Like a copy of it.
Oh, because it's really exactly you, like even in behavior. That's what's so different about this one too. It's like you don't become like a different personality.
It's like it's hiding.
It's like, yeah, it's well, doing an impression.
Yeah, that's another thing I've always wondered about this movie, these movies, is do the what do the aliens get of your memory and stuff? Because that's mortifying.
Like, I think,
I don't want them to get what's in here.
But because you're embarrassed?
Yeah.
But I don't think you can be – it's like being embarrassed in front of your cat. Like they don't have the same ideas of what's embarrassing. So it's kind of freeing in that way. You can do whatever you want. But I think in this movie they must get everything because you really can't tell who's a fucking thing. I don't know what to call it.
Thing?
Yeah. You don't know who's a thing because they all act the same. And so it just leads to this like – intense suspicion because, you know, when you're watching a movie, you kind of understand what the rules are. But if you're in the movie, there are no rules yet. You're figuring it out as you go. So, of course, you're going to be fucking paranoid and skeptical around everybody.
Yeah, I think this is why this movie succeeds where the others don't in being scary because it genuinely is. The others, it's a bit like, yeah, people are acting different. That's a bit freaky. But this one, it's like, you don't fucking know.
Yeah, they're acting exactly the same.
They could eat you.
And I think it's also more scary because it also happens to a dog.
Yeah. That poor dog. I feel so bad for that dog.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you can follow me on Letterboxd at Dog From The Thing. I liked that you suggested watching The Faculty, which is clearly a little like love letter to The Thing.
Oh, absolutely. And a love letter to Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It mentions that book by name. I liked what you wrote about The Faculty when you rewatched it just recently.
What did I write?
It's very much a product of its time. But at the same time, it's like really easy to like it.
It's
got a stacked cast for a start. Oh,
the cast is incredible. Like, let's remember who's in it. Okay, I say remember for me because I don't remember.
Okay, we got Elijah Wood.
Josh Hartnett with the worst haircut of all time.
How did he have that hair for so many years?
Why do you think he's not around anymore?
Well, okay, where is he? Where's Josh Hartnett?
No one even cares. No one cares to ask. We got
Piper Laurie.
Wait, who's Piper Laurie?
Emily's mum. Fucking Carrie's mum.
Oh, yes,
can you imagine a crossover between Carrie and Emily?
I actually can because it's two weird bitches.
Emily is scarier, to be honest. Imagine if she had psychic powers. She'd be so irritating. Oh, she's God, like Matilda.
The worst things. She is Matilda. Oh, my God. That's the most insightful thing you've ever said.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that's my best compliment. We got so this movie has Jordana Brewster in it. I hate her. She was in Fast and the Furious, and I call her JoJo because she looks like JoJo. Well, not JoJo Siwa, like JoJo, like, get out right now.
I haven't seen it, but okay.
Okay.
It's got that lady that everyone thinks is huge on the internet.
Oh, yes, Famke Janssen. Look up on Google Images, Famke Janssen giant. And I think it's actually fetish content, but it's escaped.
Now it's meme content.
Yeah.
But I got to say, delivering one of the worst performances I've ever seen in my life. Oh, man,
what was she doing? She's like, really, there's no way I would believe that this woman, she's so meek. I did not believe she got her teaching degree.
No.
No fucking way. She's an idiot. And then when she gets taken over by the monster, she's just a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got no subtlety either way.
Exactly. She read the script and she was like, okay, cool. I'm going to make it – I'll do an interesting choice where you can really see the contrast.
I'm like Famke Hamson.
I'm sorry to that lady, but she was really shit.
She wasn't giving.
Oh, it's got that lesbian – from Girl Interrupted.
Clea something.
Yeah, yeah.
Clea DuVall.
I love her.
It's got Usher.
It's got fucking Usher. You know who this movie doesn't have and it should? And I feel like you could slot them in real easy. Natasha Lyonne.
Honestly. I feel like I Natasha Lyonne is in every high school movie.
Yes.
She was in Ginger Snaps, I'm telling you.
I feel like this movie has a Natasha Lyonne energy where it's like a fun movie that you watch with like your siblings and you eat popcorn. And
yeah,
like it's just got like a good vibe. This is a Robert Rodriguez movie.
Yeah.
So it's like a bit dumb, but it's just like he knows what you want to see.
Yeah.
It's just a fun time. Like it's a fun movie to spend time with.
But also I think there is something in here that's like a little bit subversive about like the almost like the prison industrial complex of the school system. You know what I mean? Like it's not that serious, but you know, it's a little bit like school is soul destroying and it sucks.
Interesting. So. I mean, I agree with that.
But yeah, because like we've got the character, I think his name is Stan, who's like the captain of the football team, and he quits the football team because he's like, I don't want to just be the football guy anymore. I want people to see me for who I am.
He wants to get smart.
Yeah.
Even the character journeys in this movie are so funny.
Yeah. I mean, they're not very, like, intelligent, but, you know, there's something going on
there. There's something. Yeah. They're trying. They do a bit of partner swapping. I mean, the ending of this movie is so fucking stupid.
Why did Elijah Wood, who is such a cutie, get with that rude girl? She was
I don't know. I don't know. Just because it was, like, unexpected at the beginning. A hottie and a naughty.
Yeah, and they had the other hottie and the other naughty.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this movie really loved that, just like unexpected couples. Mm. But it had the same thing where you couldn't tell who was.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah.
The aliens were really good at hiding that they were aliens.
Yeah, and that's scary.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think maybe that's true.
What?
That there are,
that there are aliens.
People in my life are just like not. I mean, I guess that is true. Sometimes people aren't at all who you think that they are.
Yeah.
And you think you know them really well.
Yeah, like that's what we were talking about with I Married a Monster from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Some people do marry a fucking monster from outer space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, totally. Actually, that is actually so fucking scary.
Like, I'm sure both of us have been in relationships with monsters from outer space.
Yes. And it's like, unless it's happened to you, you don't really understand like how destabilizing that is to realize that you
kind of. It's not who you thought it was.
Yes. And that even that there are people that can consciously hide who they are and mislead other people. It's just so terrifying because you kind of assume as a person that everyone's kind of like you.
On the level, yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Not the case.
No.
Would you have that drug that Josh Hartnett was peddling from his little biros?
Absolutely. It was just crushed up caffeine tablets as if that would even do anything, but they were getting so all giggly stupid. And shit.
Like, and they were acting like he was like a drug lord.
Yeah, but he was crushing up no-dos and putting it in pens. And Pumpkin Janskin was not having it.
I love when he was like, he offered her like a cherry-flavored condom and she was just like, so mean. And she like walked away. It's like, are you crazy? You're the teacher here. Like, yeah, you have authority. Put
him, get him in trouble.
You can do something. You can go talk to the principal at least. Even I could do that. Even go there. Yeah, that was a fun movie.
That was a fun movie. And that's kind of like the most recent Body Snatcher movie that I could think of, really.
Yeah, true. Where'd they go?
It's kind of fell out of favor, I think.
We've always got cycles of these fucking things. We'll probably get more.
I wonder where the next big Body Snatcher movie is going to come from.
Yeah. Well, it's just like I feel like so many of these movies are like very similar in like theme.
Yeah, the story is always kind of similar.
Yeah.
So when we see something like They Live or I Married a Monster from Outer Space, we have fun with it.
But I do like the idea of like snatching someone's body.
Well, it's that thing like, you know,
that's
how, you,
that's the all you have, really.
Did you ever have this thing where guys would be like, I want to swap bodies with a girl so I can squat over a mirror?
Ew. What the
People
fuck?
Used to say that shit all the time. Or like girls would be like, I want to swap bodies with a guy so I can look at myself naked.
I would like to swap bodies with a guy just so I can pee.
Standing up.
Yeah, not even standing, but just, you know, like.
Just experience.
Aiming, that. Like holding it.
Oh.
I don't know. Something about that's always fascinated me.
Well, the idea, I think, of being in someone else's body, like you said before, is like a little bit erotic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, actually.
But is that us or is that the stories that are being told to us through these movies? I don't know.
Hmm. Well, I think everyone should go watch Shivers immediately.
Yeah.
And then just walk around your apartment building, see if anyone's down for an orgy. Just see. Mm. Don't insist. Just offer.
Yeah.
And also you should let us know if you want us to do any particular themes.
Yeah, we're running out of themes here. We're racing against the clock.
And we just want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're lonely.
Yeah, especially the person from
we
the
barber. We miss you. Yeah. Maybe. And especially anyone cute.
Yeah, like self-assess if you're cute.
And if you are, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts telling us exactly how cute you are out of 10.
But I think you're all 10 out of 10, by the way.
That's nice.
Yeah, you should comment on our Instagram as well. Like, I was scrolling through our Instagram today because I often do. I'm like, scroll through and I'm like, they're so funny. And
we're kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah. And we had like a clip of us talking about how there's a difference between shit and crap. And I was like, drop some shit in the comments. No one commented. And that makes us really sad, actually. So.
Oh, wow.
So you better comment.
Well, you don't want Scooter to be sad. So go to our Instagram at SpookyBitchGang. But mostly because it's, like, funny and interesting.
Yeah. And you can, like, respond to our stories and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, like, we'll like it at least.
Let's do some engagement, guys.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not? We've got one life to live. Let's get fucking weird. Let's engage with each other.
Yeah, we're all friends.
Let's be our basest, most primal selves through Instagram DM.
Do you think that we're approachable? I think we're very approachable.
I think me as a person individually, separate from this podcast, unapproachable.
Oh.
Me as a spooky bitch, approachable.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
But I'm not unapproachable on purpose.
Yeah. It's just who you are.
I just have like a, I don't know. There's just a lot of stress, I think, on my face at all times.
Yeah. Which is understandable.
Yeah. But anyway, please approach me and we really love you.
Yeah. We love you heaps. We hope you enjoyed this episode and I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.